Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman joined by Corey Curtis from News 2 in studio. Parker Kelly behind the glass. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Corey, out last week. It's been a couple of weeks. Excited to have you back.
I know you are, and I don't blame you. No, I'm kidding. It's great to be back. I missed not being here. I debated calling post surgery.
Yeah.
That would have not been good. So you're fortunate that didn't happen.
It could have been entertaining. We might have just had to have the dump button ready. But
I had some conversations that I was told about afterwards that I do not recall.
You didn't miss much. We actually weren't on the air all that often because Mike Borgonzi was speaking for so long. So
yeah.
We just took all of his press conference and didn't have too much to do. But
it's nice to hear somebody actually answer questions.
Yes, he was good. I've said all week that I think that was the best press conference that we've seen from a Titans official in like 5 years.
Well, as Paul was saying, that it should be the norm. I think the big thing is just having one guy up there and one voice.
Right.
You know, when you have two guys up there looking at each other like, are you going to speak? Are you going to speak? It's uncomfortable for everybody. If he's in charge of personnel, he needs to answer the personnel questions.
Yes.
Okay, it's not hard. It's not rocket science. And I don't care if he wants to do it or doesn't want to do it. That's the job, and you do it. Now, how you answer the questions, that's entirely up to you. I remember
right.
when Mike Reinfeldt was the GM and said absolutely nothing, and it was just mind-numbing. I think, you know, the dose of reality he dished out was good because you don't want to sound disconnected.
Right.
I mean, I can cite examples of that. But when you sound disconnected, I think you lose players, you lose fans, you lose everybody. When you sound connected to what's going on, that's the first step. You know, what's the first step in getting help? Admitting you need
it. Yeah, admitting you have a problem.
Yeah. And so admitting where they're at and how they're going to get there, I think is the first step. And I think it was a relief.
Yeah,
for people to hear that, to say yes, we are bad. Thank you.
He was very open and honest, and you could tell that he had the pulse of the fan base coming out and basically saying, like, I know you're frustrated. And then when he addressed the Jarvis Brownlee trade, he said, I know this has been controversial around here. So at the very least, he was willing to own up to some of the things
sure.
that have happened lately.
You know, and that, you know what? That's what you have to do, is just own up to it. Look, if you're going to make tough choices that you know are unpopular, that's the job.
Yep.
But you just have to stand up for them, and you know, you have to believe in them, you know. And if they're really bad, you get fired, like Nico Harrison,
right?
Okay.
Yeah.
But you know, if you make your case to the fan base, you know, and put reason into it, you know, whether they like it or not, they'll give you some leeway.
Yeah. And Nico Harrison, the latest example of horrible moves as a GM that, you know, unsurprisingly lead to him getting fired less than a year later.
I don't think trading Luka and trading Brownlee are on the same scale.
No, I don't know.
But we'll find out.
The A.J. Brown trade, I think, would be more closely related to that.
Yes,
and,
it would.
We saw the same thing happen to the GM who made that deal less than a year later.
And it had the same results for the organizations.
Right.
It was catastrophic.
Yeah. And
I mean, catastrophic.
The Mavericks somehow lucked into the number one pick and got Cooper Flagg, but still has not ended up getting them back into.
It's early. You know, he's played about 5 games.
Right.
So maybe we give him 7 or 8. You know, to bring the Mavericks fully back.
I think Titans fans would agree with that timeline. You know, 8 games in, he's a bust if he doesn't actually start producing.
You know, we're talking Cam Ward, and I know we got a long show ahead of us, but I did it in my show yesterday. I projected his numbers over 17 games. He's 3,350 yards.
Yeah.
You know when the last time the Titans had a quarterback throw for 3,300 yards? It was Ryan Tannehill in 2021.
Yeah.
I mean, and again, that's not to say he has been great. That's not to say he does not need to get better. He absolutely needs
right.
to get better. But, you know, I think we're acting like he can't complete a pass.
Yes.
And that is simply not true. Now, third down, and I'm glad they embraced this.
Yeah.
Third down is a massive problem because, number one, they don't run enough plays because they can't stay on the field. And they need to run more plays, all right, to get – I am Manor the ball, to get Chig the ball, to get DK the ball, all right, to get Spears touches. You've got to stay on the field. they're not on the field long enough to get these guys the ball in volume at all. 28% does not get it done.
It's really bad.
And look, it falls on everybody, and you know, you always hear the excuses it goes back to first down, and I'm down with all that.
Yep.
But the bottom line is this: the quarterback has to make more plays. The quarterback on third down has to find a way to move the chains, whether it's running, whether it's throwing, whether it's whatever. He has got to find a way to do it, and I don't mean to put it all on him, but I'm going to put a lot of it on him because that's the job.
Yeah. I mean, Cam Ward obviously has underwhelmed through the first nine starts of his career. I think this is an important week coming up for him off the bye week. And
tough one.
Mike McCoy has come out and said that they've tried to make some adjustments. They've gone through the film of, hey, Cam, here's what you're struggling with mechanically. Here's some decision-making problems that you've had. Let's get better at it. And you're right. It is a tough one. This is a Texans defense that held you scoreless the last time you faced them.
You got Hunter and Anderson coming off the edges. I think they've each got 7.5 sacks. Is that right? Here's a crazy stat for you. The Titans and Texans have the same amount of sacks.
Really?
Yeah. Look, if you would have given me that bet before the season, I would have lost my house.
Yeah. I got to say, the Titans pass rushers have actually...
They've way exceeded expectations.
And you traded one away in Draymond Jones. But, like, Jahad Ward was a guy you took off the streets.
He's been
great. You probably get Arden Key back at some point.
Yay.
He still hasn't had his little stretch of...
His two-game stretch.
Of three sacks in two games before he falls off the face of the earth. You could get Jeffrey Simmons back this week. So,
yeah. Simmons and Ridley are... That's what I'm watching this week to see if they're back. You would think the timeline is pretty good for that.
Today's injury report is going to be interesting. For sure, because those two guys have been out for a while, both with hamstring injuries, and those can linger, as we know, sometimes through the entire year. But
Ridley's looked worse.
It did.
I mean, because when he came out, it was like, oh, yeah, he's done. And Jeff was just like, it's like, do I have hamstrings? What is this? You know, he seemed like bothered.
Yeah.
Like wasn't sure what it was.
And the way Jeff has been posting on social media,
yes,
it seems like he's coming back.
I'm
like,
ready to roll.
Yes, he has been putting it out there over and over that he is ready to come back. So I think Jeffrey Simmons will play on Sunday. Ridley's the interesting one. And as much as you do want to see the young guys, like you want to see DK and Ian Manor continue to get a ton of looks, Cam Ward needs Calvin Ridley back on the field. You need a guy who's experienced and you can trust. And
can you trust
him? I know the drops have been bad.
Okay,
but,
well, okay. I'm going to ask you, do you know what percentage of passes of targets he's catching?
I don't actually.
It is well under 50%.
Yeah.
So that says drops, that says not on the same page. I mean, that has not been a good combination.
I will say trust maybe isn't the right word, but he was the go-to guy for Cam Ward throughout the preseason. And, you know, when he got late in the Cardinals game and he needed a couple of throws, that's where he was looking, was to Calvin Ridley. I think it's a nice safety blanket to have for Cam Ward, at least in his mind, that he has Calvin Ridley out there.
Look, is he the most talented receiver they've got?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not arguing that. And would you like to have him on the field? Absolutely. Look, they're not going to get him back, and you're like, okay, six catches, 100 yards. There's no reason to expect that.
Right.
None whatsoever. I would just like to see some consistency. I'd like to see him catch 70% of his targets.
Yeah.
Okay. If we can do that, if we could see him catch 4 out of 7, that would be progress. Okay. Because right now it's in the 40s.
Yeah.
And it's not good.
He could maybe help on third downs too. And you talked about it with third downs that it's partially they're not making plays on third downs, but Mike McCoy even said it goes back to first downs too, that they just have not been able to stay on the field because they're getting behind the sticks. You're in a lot more third and longs than you are third and shorts. But even when you have gotten into third and shorts, you really haven't been able to convert those consistently.
I'd like to see what their conversion rate is third and five or less. The Packers went into this weekend at 49%. They're number one in the league.
Yeah.
I don't know what they are after Monday night's debacle. But, you know, even so going into this weekend, I think the Vikings were 31, and they were like 4 points higher than the Titans. They were at 32%. And that's a dramatic difference, four points. When you're talking about the difference between last and second to last.
It's almost 7% difference between the Titans and Jets right now.
For third downs.
Titans 28.4%, mm-hmm. Jets are 35%.
And so the Vikings moved way up, huh?
Vikings are 37 now.
Yeah, they must have had a good day because they were at like 32.
The Cowboys are now in first place in the league at 52%.
52%?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're putting up points.
Based on statrankings.com,
yeah.
I can trust it.
But what's the Cowboys' record? 3-5-1.
Yeah, not great. So, yeah. Yes, third down's important, but it's not everything. You've also got to be good on defense, too.
Yeah. They made some trades. We'll see if it works out.
Yeah, that is true. They brought Quinnen Williams in, which that's a...
They also traded for the linebacker, Logan Wilson from the Bengals.
Right. Who?
And I do like that trade. What, they traded a seventh?
Yeah.
So that's a great trade.
Right. Go get a player who can help you out in the middle of that defense. And Quinnen Williams, too. Talented player.
But they didn't have the money to pay Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
But they got the money to pay Logan Wilson and Quinnen Williams.
And also traded away one of the picks they got in the Micah Parsons trade to get Quinnen Williams.
Yes.
And we'll talk more about the trade deadline later on as we catch up after Corey was out last week. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our good friend Trey has called in. Trey,
he was just on the last show.
Yeah, I'm on all the shows, baby. You know how it goes. Hey, but what I wanted to say, okay, say for instance me. Okay, if I'm working a job and the boss comes up to me and say, son, okay, I want you to be manager. Okay, and I say, okay, I'm going to be manager. Okay, and then he give me this position to be manager. But I don't show any skills to do this job, then I'm basically lying to myself. And that kind of stems to how I feel about Cam Ward. It's like, okay, you have to have the basic skills to do this job.
Okay, well, Trey, he does have the basic skills. He's got a cannon for an arm.
But he's not winning. No, he's not winning.
What's flawed about your comparison here is it would be like if your boss said, hey, we're gonna give you $3 million to be our manager, okay?
Corey, after seven days,
you don't show any skills. They're not going to just let you go because they gave you $3 million. They are invested in. No, I'm not. Because we're talking about being invested.
You're talking about somebody that's been playing football since he was probably 5 years old.
Yeah, and he does, and he's got a skill set. You haven't even watched him play, Trey.
Yeah.
You don't know. You haven't seen him throw a pass. He has to get better.
I watched a little bit of him, and I didn't like it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, you know what? There are little bits of him I've watched that I haven't liked, too.
Hey, Corey.
Yes, sir.
Corey, all I'm saying is that from what I'm getting out of it, if we got to wait till next year for somebody to say, hey, he's not the man, well, how is that going to affect the team? How is that going to affect the fans? You know what I'm saying? This isn't fair to anybody.
No,
but the team isn't expecting him not to be the guy. They drafted him first overall because they expect he is going to be the guy.
Look, they see the things in him that can get them there. They need to clean up some of the other things.
So we should wait till next year.
All right, you know what?
Yes.
No,
yes, Trey.
No, you should release him now and start Brandon Allen or go to the waiver wire and find somebody else who isn't playing. All right, that's what you should do. No, I mean, look, Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix and CJ Stroud.
That's the outliers.
They're the outliers. And also, by the way, all of them regressed in year two.
Yeah.
All of them.
And look, CJ Stroud has gone even further back in year three.
Yes. And so you don't know. You don't know. You look at the great quarterbacks.
So what y'all think I should do then? What do y'all think?
Watch the team and hope for Cam Ward to get better.
Yeah, just enjoy the process, man. I mean, see if he gets better. And if he doesn't get better, then you know what? He'll have this year and next year. That's it.
Okay. Yep.
I mean, he's going to have next year.
Thanks for the call,
thank
Trey.
You guys, I love you.
All right, thanks,
have
Trey.
A good day.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, he's going to get next year.
Right, you don't pick a guy first overall to give up on him after one season.
No, and especially, look, we saw Josh Rosen.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked Josh Rosen a lot coming out. I was dead wrong.
Yeah.
He was horrible.
Yeah. He didn't have it up here. In the heart.
He's this like the smartest quarterback that ever lived. But I mean, he was a genius, but he just didn't have it on the football field for some reason.
Yeah. There is not going to be a Josh Rosen, Kyler Murray situation here, especially because the quarterback's coming out like, yes, I think they're going to be good enough that someone will want to take them first overall in Mendoza and Simpson, but it's not good enough to give up on the guy you've already got in your building.
Okay, let me ask you, who's got a bigger concern right now? The Titans with Cam Ward or the Vikings with J.J. McCarthy?
Yeah.
I mean, who is he throwing to?
Right. He's got Justin Jefferson out there and Jordan Addison and T.J. Hockenson.
He's got three guys that would be the Titans' one.
Yeah.
All right. And he isn't getting above 150 a game. All right. That's a concern.
Yeah.
And he's in year two. And I know he didn't play in year one because he was hurt. But that's a concern. All right. And Cam, yes, there are unquestionably concerns. I am not going to say that there are not. But there's a lot that needs to improve around him. And there's a lot that he can work on internally to get better. But the arm talent is certainly there.
Yep.
And we say that all the time with guys. Will Levis, the arm talent was there.
Yeah.
But the other intangibles that I will stand by and say this is why I believe in him, his confidence does not get shaken, and he has the desire to be great.
Yep.
Puts in the work to be great. He is coachable, all right, to a degree. He's pretty stubborn on some stuff. But I am confident that he will address things like footwork in the off season and say last year wasn't acceptable.
Yeah.
I am 100% about that. But I mean, look, I will say it again. The great ones get better over time. You know, when the thing about Roethlisberger and Brady, when they came in, they weren't asked to shoulder the load. They threw 20 passes a game.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I think that's the number one mistake the Titans have made with Levis and Ward, was putting too much on both of them. And, you know, but that's where we are. That's where we are. I know we're running out of time, and I'm going on and on. I'm sorry.
He's still got half a season of his rookie year to continue to show some growth. And again,
yes,
he's going to get all of next year, too.
I'm going to look up what Drake Maye's numbers were for his first nine starts today.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that.
It's a good point. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. You can text or call our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We got some good texts on the text line. We will continue to talk Titans on the other side. We'll also get into the college football playoff rankings later in the show as well. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis with you on this Wednesday. 94.9 The Fan is your home for Vanderbilt women's basketball. Today, the Commodores take on Austin Peay at 6. Pregame starts at 5:45. I'll be making my way up to Clarksville later on this afternoon, looking to get to 3-0 on the season.
They play that in FM Bank Arena?
Yes.
Okay.
Up in FM Bank.
I have not been to that arena.
I have not either. I saw in the notes this is the first time that a power conference team is going to play there in men's or women's basketball.
Nice. So I know they're trying to get more events.
Yes.
And obviously the Cats are going to play there, and that's great.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
The Nashville Cats, that season coming up quicker than it's in the spring. So, yeah, up there at F&M Bank Arena in Clarksville. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to chime in. Talking Titans here in the first hour of the show. We will get into the new college football playoff rankings, where Vanderbilt is ranked 14th. Looking at this Titans team, Corey, it was a productive bye week for the Titans. You got pretty much everybody that you needed to win. Ended up winning, except for your Bears couldn't just lose against the Giants and help the Titans out a little bit more. Bears coming back in that game, and the Giants still at two wins. But the Titans all alone at the top of the draft order as of right now. And we've been asking the question for the last week, because the fan base, I think, is pretty divided. What would be better for this team? To lose out the rest of the games and just full-on embrace the tank? I know that the team's not doing that. Or to get a couple of wins down the stretch and have Cam Ward and your young players gain some confidence and start to build the culture.
Well, everything I've seen is, I think, probably 60, 70% of the fans that respond say that they acknowledge what's best for the team is to lose and get the highest draft pick. Right. Look, I think you can somebody self said this yesterday, but I agree with it. You root for the results that you got this last weekend, but you also root for your team to go play and win games. Because the Titans could win three games and still pick first.
They did it last year.
Yeah, that can still happen. You don't want your team to go out there and stink. All right, that doesn't make anybody better. You want to see them get better. You know, regardless of the win-loss record, you want to see them get better and then have the highest draft position possible.
Right.
That's it. And you know what? If Mike Morganzi does his job, you'll get good players. That's his job. He found three good ones in the fourth round. They don't all have to come in the first round. All right? You can find good ones. Amon-Ra St. Brown was a fourth-round pick. Okay? There are good players beyond the first round. That doesn't mean your expectation be, hey, we're going to find Amon-Ra St. Brown in the fourth round. But there are good players out there, and you see it all the time. And that's why Mitch Trubisky was the second pick of the draft.
Yeah.
Okay, that didn't go too well. All right? So there's no guarantees. You draft as high as you can, and you do the best you can. And I acknowledge the higher they pick, the more likely it is they'll get more picks, and that's what they need.
Yes.
But again, you make it happen.
There are also Des Fitzpatricks in the fourth round of the
draft. Yes, there are.
John Robinson was able to find that one.
Ahead of Amon-Ra St. Brown. Yeah. Yeah. There's also Trey Smith's in the sixth round.
Yes, there are.
Who you took Brady Breeze.
Brady Breeze. Legend. Titans legend.
Is he still in the league?
I highly doubt it.
No,
he's in the CFL.
Oh, he is?
Is he really?
Former Oregon safety, yeah, right? Yeah. Right. Brady Breeze.
Had the scoop and score in the Rose Bowl versus Wisconsin?
That sounds right. Was Brady Breeze a contestant on Where Are They Now? Is that how you know that?
No, I just love college football. So I know.
There you go. You know where Brady Breeze is. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get to some of your texts on the other side. Wes from Hermitage with an interesting question. 4405 putting in there, LeBron is the greatest basketball player of all time and Steph is better than Magic. Don't know what that has to do with anything, but that's a text that we just got. So
that's insane.
I knew Corey would have thoughts on that. I don't know, but I did not get to see Magic play, obviously.
I did.
But, you know, Steph Curry's pretty good.
You know, Magic was a 6'9 point guard.
Yes.
Okay, that would be unusual today, and now we're talking about 40 years ago. So, yeah. I mean, before his unprecedented tweet game, he was an unprecedented point guard. Who, by the way, was so good that when Kareem was hurt in the NBA Finals, they started him at center.
Yep.
And he put up a double-double.
We got back-to-back texts here saying embrace the suck, so I guess we're getting
I think those people are more vocal.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's fine. But, again, whether you're picking first or your third, you still got to get it right. Okay? You still got to get it right.
4405 is now talking about Magic being a 6'9 Ben Simmons. He has no left.
Wow. Wow. It was a different game then. Look, teams shot one or two threes a game back then. The three-point shot was a bad shot back then. Because, by the way, back then you could defend the three-point line.
Right.
Now if you breathe on someone, they get three free throws.
Yep.
And I'm not saying, well, back in my day, it was officiated differently. That's all there is to it.
Oh, getting off on a tangent here early on in the show. We will get back to the Titans on the other side. The trade deadline has come and gone. Going to get Corey's thoughts on some of the things the Titans did, maybe some of the things the Titans didn't do, and also a look ahead at the head coaching carousel. We talked about a possible name that could be out there yesterday. I know Corey has some thoughts on that. We'll get to it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. That was Mike Morganzi last week talking about what he wants in a new head coach and how much input he will have in that decision. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. I thought that was an interesting comment from Mike Morganzi, who came out.
I thought it was a great comment.
Off the top, said he didn't want to talk much about the coaching search. He said that there's a time and a place for that, and that's not it. But he said that he doesn't care offense, defense. I know we talk a lot about the offensive-minded coach to develop Cam Ward, but he wants a leader.
Yeah.
And I think that's important to find a guy who has experience, can come in and command that room from day one.
Look, we started talking about this in the weeks leading up to Brian Callahan being fired.
Right.
That his one of his big mistakes was embracing play caller and an offensive implementation system first and head coach like third. All right. Whoever it is needs to be head coach first. All right. You're the head coach of the football team. And Andy Reid was a quarterback's coach. I think Mike Tomlin might have been a defensive coordinator for 1 year. Maybe.
Yes.
Okay.
That sounds right.
I thought he was the DB's coach with the Vikings when they hired him, but maybe he was a coordinator for a year. I'm not sure. But, you know, Mike Ditka was a special teams coach with the Vikings.
He was the Vikings DC for one year.
Okay. And John Harbaugh was a special teams coach. So it doesn't matter. You recognize leadership. You recognize leader of men. And as long as you can get everyone to pull in the same direction, it really doesn't matter what the plan is. They'll make it work.
Right.
I mean, I got to cover Lou Holtz for like 7 years at South Carolina. Maybe not that long. Maybe it was like six. But regardless, he took over a winless team. I mean, absolute dumpster fire garbage. And in 1 year, took them to like 9-3 in an Outback Bowl win over South Carolina. And it wasn't because their talent was that much better. It did get better. But you could write books about Lou Holtz and just the person that he is.
Yeah.
Because I was in it. But one of the most effective leaders I've ever seen. And it's just that's it. You know, just getting everyone to pull. You know, he used to always say, cars in the ditch, who's going to get out and push? And it's true. Because there are people who are going to complain about it. And then there are people who are going to feel sorry for themselves about it. And then there's going to be the group of men and women who get out and figure out a way to get this thing out.
Yeah.
And those are the people you got to surround yourself with. And so you need that effective leader. And that effective leader then needs to hire a good staff, of course. And the GM needs to hire find good players,
yes,
of course. But leadership is the number one priority for me in finding a head coach. And that's it just about any sport, because not a lot of the great coaches weren't X's and O's geniuses. Okay. They were great leaders. They pushed people forward.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about great military generals, General George Patton. What did he do? He pushed his army forward at every opportunity. He led the way. He was up front. Now he was a showboat and all that stuff, but he pushed his army forward, and a head coach has got to be the same way.
Yeah, I think it's important to find a leader of men first, and then you have to figure out who the offensive staff is going to be.
Yep.
That's the second most important thing is, all right, you can lead this team. Who's going to develop Cam Ward? I mean, we see it with the Patriots right now. Mike Vrabel, he's not developing Drake May.
No.
But he brought in Josh McDaniel, who has not been a good head coach, but he's a great developer of quarterback play and of an offense, and you see what Drake May is doing right now. He's in the MVP conversation. That's what you need to go out and find is, hey, you can be our leader, but who's going to be your OC? And there are plenty of options out there for a possible offensive mind who could come in and be the OC, but that's also got to be part of the plan if you don't go with one of these X's and O's
there are
type
plenty
guys.
Of failed head coaches who are OCs that you could tap into.
There are. there are.
But, I mean, you know, the Titans are going to have company. I mean, the Giants join the mix.
Yeah.
You got to think the Cardinals are probably going to fire their coach. The Dolphins are probably going to fire their coach. I mean, there's probably going to be six or seven openings when this thing is said.
That's what we went through it yesterday, and I think there's going to be about six or seven. I think Miami opens.
Six, seven.
We have a quick tangent. We have our Education Day game coming up next Friday, the 11 a.m. with all the
kids. Are you banning 6-7 references?
Well, I'm going to have to turn the crowd mic down when we hit 67 points, because that's been the story.
You go from 66 to 68.
Right. Maybe we skip 67 entirely. That would be great.
Like elevators, no 13th floor, no 67 on the scoreboard.
I've been seeing all of these tweets about like these kid games where they hit 67 the arena just erupts. So next Friday, let's hope we go from 65 to 68 or 66 to 67.
You guys have 65 points, and Shea's like, we're only shooting threes
Guys, there is a wall around the three-point line.
Only threes.
Looking at the jobs that could open up, I think Miami opens up. I think the Cardinals fire Jonathan Gannon. Like that one, yeah. I don't see that one lasting much longer.
Atlanta?
I think you're going to get two out of Atlanta, Cincinnati,
yep.
Cleveland.
Yep.
The Jets and Saints, I don't think they're going to give up on their head coaches after 1 year, but you never know.
Well, their teams stink. So,
and then there's always the wild cards that happen. The Packers is one that we've talked about, too. Could Matt LaFleur be out there? And yeah. I think that would be a decent place to kick the tires for the Titans if he does get out there.
That reminds me of like when the Eagles moved on from Andy Reid.
Yeah, and we got all these Packers fans, including Robbie Stanley, texting us yesterday when we said it's crazy that he's coaching for his job, and all of them said, "Yeah, we want him out." Like, so,
yeah, sign me up.
I would take Matt LaFleur in a heartbeat.
Yes.
Again, the grass is not always greener. And Brian Daboll getting fired yesterday. Maybe that's a guy you look at as an offensive coordinator if you do go hire a defensive guy.
Well, he's going to be somewhere.
Daboll,
if he wants to,
was great with the Bills. Yeah. So, he did cross paths with Mike Borgonzi with the Chiefs at least for one season a while back.
Yeah, I mean, look, a guy like him is going to probably go to a place where he thinks helps him become a head coach again the fastest.
Yeah,
that would be my guess. But you know, we'll see.
That's not exactly what you want for your young quarterback is a guy who's going to – but
look, if whoever your coach is, if he's successful, people are going to want to hire him.
Right.
That's why the Titans wanted to hire an offensive-minded head coach to avoid that cycle.
Yeah.
It didn't work. That's not to say that you can't do that again. But like we've talked about, the number one priority has to be leadership, all right, and then the development of the quarterback, not the other way around.
Right.
But – you know, you just have to be prepared to deal with it. You hire the best people that you can, and you trust that you will find a good candidate to replace them. That's the job.
Yep. That's what you have to be looking for is leader of men, like Mike Borgonzi said, and find a guy who can help Cam Ward take the next step. But obviously, when you have success, people are going to be interested and take your coach away.
So who are the top coaching candidates out there right now? There's Mike McCarthy.
Mike McCarthy.
Jesse Minter, the DC with the
Chargers. Yeah, Joe Brady with the Bills. The Bills offense hasn't looked great the last couple of weeks.
Could he also wind up at LSU?
Right. That's a possibility.
Yeah.
Then Arthur Smith has been thrown out there. Robert Saleh, Matt Nagy. Those are all of the failed first-time head coaches who maybe you want to bring in.
Yeah. Now, Nagy was a coach of the year 1 year with the Bears.
He went 12-4.
Yeah. So he did taste some success where Saleh did not, and really Arthur did not. So that's interesting. I think you can sell that. You can sell Nagy didn't have the pieces at quarterback, you know, to do it long term.
Right.
And I'm not advocating, I'm just saying that Borgonzi could make that case if that's who he wants to go with. But, I mean, if LaFleur is available, I think the Titans are going to have to get in line.
I think he would immediately become the number one coach on the market. And same with the Browns if they fired Stefanski. I think he would be a very somewhere. Popular name as well. So you don't know who's going to be out there, but seems like there are going to be plenty of options for the Titans.
And the guy I continue to advocate for is Marcus Freeman from Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And I think he'll get a number of NFL interviews this year. I think one of them will be in Nashville. And we'll see if anybody wants to pay up because he is going to be expensive.
Right.
But he is a dynamic leader and a guy whose teams are always better at the end of the year than they are at the beginning of the year. And I think that those are two really, really attractive qualities. And I think for a team that lacks stars, I think having a star at head coach isn't the worst thing.
No, I agree with that. I think Marcus Freeman would be a great hire if they, first off, the money has to talk. And if he wants to come to the NFL level, you get him. Maybe you get one of those experienced OCs, former head coaches to come over, whether it's Daboll, maybe a Mike McDaniel, somebody like that. I think that could be a good marriage to help bring this team back into relevancy. Tonight, Vanderbilt men's basketball takes on Eastern Kentucky at Memorial Gym with a 7 o'clock tip-off. Pregame show starts with Kevin Ingram and Tim Thompson at 6:30 on 102.5 The Game. We'll get to some of your texts on the text line when we come back. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Tonight on Totally Hits 93.3, catch MTSU men's basketball as the Blue Raiders take on Evansville at 7 p.m. Coverage is also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at totallyhitsnashville.com. Lots of hoops around our stations tonight. Vandy men and women, MTSU men's basketball, lots of early season basketball.
Who do the Blue Raiders have?
I just read it, didn't I?
Yeah, I don't know.
Evansville.
I was watching Caleb Williams' highlights.
I read it and didn't even remember. Evansville.
You know, the Bears are tied for first.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. The NFC North going to be a very interesting watch down the stretch.
They're not as good as the Packers or the Lions. I'm not an idiot.
But they're in position to be in the playoffs right now. So.
Yeah, and they run in the football, and the quarterback's getting better. His sack numbers are way down.
Yeah.
Way down.
I mean, what, 68 last year?
Yes. And he's not retreating like he did last year. And they could have put the Giants away last week if they could catch the football.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it. And now they still found a way to win, which has kind of been the last 2 weeks. So I'm not thrilled with how they've necessarily played. But finding ways to win is a pretty good thing. And by the way, number one in the NFL in turnover margin, and it's not even close.
They're
at plus 14. I think the next number is like plus 8.
That's how you win in the NFL.
Win
the turnover battle.
Okay, the Jags are 5-4. And look at their – I would like to know what their plus minus is in the 5 wins versus the 4 losses. Because I'll guarantee you in the 5 wins, that plus number is huge because they have been totally dependent on turnovers to win games this year.
Yeah, let's see.
Are we talking about the Jaguars?
Yeah, the Jags. Trying to see if I can find – there we go. Turnovers.
They're at a plus for the season.
This is not easy to read.
No.
But they got off to a great start. I remember that because they had all those interceptions early on. Lloyd had 4 in like the first 5 games of the season.
They were plus 10.
Yes.
And they were I don't know, were they 4-1 or something at one point?
Yeah, well they turned the ball over 3 times on Sunday against the Texans,
and
including that one at the very end of the game.
That was terrible. Okay, let me rant about that play.
Yeah.
You have a kicker who can hit from 70.
Right.
You needed like 5 yards to get within his range.
Right.
And you had 6 seconds.
Yeah.
So all you needed to do was throw something quick to the outside and get out of bounds and give yourself a chance to kick. What the hell were they doing?
I don't know. That when you have Cam Little as a weapon, there's a much better chance of him being able to make that kick than you having any chance to make a play downfield. So
it was so dumb.
You were inside too. Like it's not like this was outdoors.
So I thought it was impossible for anyone to compete with the Arizona Cardinals for worst loss of the season. I thought it might be the worst loss of the decade.
Yeah.
And the Texans just said, "Hold my beer."
Yeah, they found a way.
I mean, that was a backup quarterback, 26-0 in one quarter.
Yeah, Cardinals blew an 18-point lead. The Jaguars blew a 19-point lead in the fourth quarter.
To a backup quarterback.
Right, to Davis Webb. Davis Mills, sorry.
Yeah. No,
who am I thinking of? The old Cal quarterback, Webb. Is it Davis Webb?
Yes. Yeah.
That's who I was thinking. He played for the Texans, too, I want to say.
Was he like Cal Davis or something?
Yeah, something like that. It wasn't
Cal.
He was in the Mahomes, Watson, Trubisky.
I thought you were talking about Joe Webb at first.
No, not Joe Webb.
Former Vikings receiver
/quarterback. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to text or call. Mitchell on the text line wants us to put this out to the world. He says he believes he's found the true meaning of 67.
You know, you told me this in the break, and I think everybody needs to listen up. I think there's a lot of good work that's gone into this.
He says, look at the 67th element on the periodic table and the abbreviation. It is holmium, and the abbreviation is HO. So that's what Mitchell has done the research and believes that that is the true meaning of 6-7.
You know, I'm not going to argue it right now.
The logic is pretty sound.
Yes, it is.
So
that seems to be a pretty consistent lyric.
Yeah. No one seems to understand what 6-7 means. and why it's being said so much. So maybe Mitchell's on to something.
Look, if some rap artist incorporated the periodic table to get across what he was trying to say, I just say, well done. I mean, you're way to use your noggin.
Yeah.
Kiss your brain.
Nice job, Mitchell. We appreciate you you doing the hard work for us here on the station.
The heavy lifting.
1180 on the text line says, honest question, if you can get a Stefanski or whoever, but he wants to give Levis a real shot, do you do it? Or is it ward or bust? Is your priority coach or quarterback? The answer is quarterback.
Yep.
And because, yes, a coach is important. You need to have a good coach. But you really need to have a good quarterback.
Well, let me just ask you this. If I gave you your choice 15 years ago, Brady or Belichick, which one do you want?
Right.
You want Brady.
You want Tom Brady, and that's been proven by what they've done since then.
And it's just it's what the game is. It is a quarterback-driven business.
Yes. And also, Will Levis is not going to be around next year.
Probably not.
And I also want to make the point that all of the people who are giving up on Cam after 9 games, why did 18 games of Will Levis, or whatever, 20 games of Will Levis, make you think that he still has potential? Like,
I think he still does have potential.
Well, yeah, he has potential, but like, what did you see from Will Levis that makes you think he deserves another shot as the Titans quarterback, but Cam Ward doesn't?
Okay, who's the most popular player on every team? It's the backup quarterback. All right? That's the old saying.
Except for Brandon Allen.
Yes, except for Brandon Allen. Because, look, when what you're seeing isn't good enough, you're going to turn to the alternative. And the Titans are last in the NFL in offense. And so fans are going to turn and say, well, maybe it wasn't so bad. We weren't last then. Okay?
I don't think people are remembering how bad Will Levis was last year.
Okay. And again, I will say, square peg in a round hole.
So, right. No, Brian Callahan deserves more blame than I think we initially gave him for that.
Yes. And that doesn't mean I think Will was necessarily ready to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, but I do not think with what they were asking him to do was not conducive with who he is. And, you know, he needs to play for Al Davis. I know Al Davis is dead now, but if he could have played for Al Davis, he would have been set. Drop back and throw it deep. No, I'm serious. I mean, that's
true.
That's what he's good at. But I mean, he needs to play action, right?
Yeah.
Keep it simple. Let him use his athleticism some, and play. I will say this: Will Levis is going to get a shot to start again somewhere.
I agree.
Someplace. What, you know, he's going to have to come off the bench to do it, but it's going to happen. I mean, Mariota is starting now. All right. I mean, you see it. It happens everywhere. Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, they're starters again.
Right.
And they're excelling. They're excelling. I mean, shoot, Darnold might be the MVP.
Yeah.
And so the league is so quarterback needy that you're going to get another shot again. And we'll see what Will's got. I like Will as a person, and I like his athletic ability. He's got a lot to learn at the position, obviously. And I would like to see him be a player in the league.
Yeah. No, I agree that Will Levis is going to get another shot somewhere, but it's not going to be here. And
no, because all the conversations with coaching staff, if you bring up another quarterback, that coach is out.
Right. Yeah. If Kevin Stefanski walks in to the interview and goes, yeah, Cam's okay, but Will Levis, let's give him a shot.
Hey, or you need to trade Dylan Gabriel and get him over here.
He is not going to get the job.
No.
Sorry. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Appreciate everybody's interaction on the text line in this first hour. We're going to transition over to college football on the other side. The CFP rankings came out last night, the newest edition. Vanderbilt moves up a couple spots to 14, and it is a big weekend for Vanderbilt, even though they are not going to be playing. And they don't have to change the channel because all the games they need to pay attention to are on News 2. We'll talk about all of that coming up in hour number 2. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly. Next man up, 102.5 The Game.